grass. The walls are broken down. The gates are burned with fire. The gates of praise have gone out of our country. Don't take you long. Pick up a newspaper or turn on the TV. We're in a mess. But we're not in a mess in here. They're in a mess out there. You know, as bad as Noah had it in there, as bad as it got to stinking, it was a whole lot better than what was going on out yonder. A lot of times I have to be reminded. I appreciate the piano player saying that this morning. Matter of fact, she, you don't know about this, that one little thing, about what Brother Tim has said. It has encouraged me more today. Don't know why I needed to hear somebody was discouraged, but it's encouraged me. Nehemiah faced opposition. You know why he did? Because he wasn't going with the devil, he was going against the devil. And you'll find that here, the devil in chapter 4, verse 1, now Nehemiah, he had got a burden. Remember, he went and he viewed the walls, and he said, I had a few men with me. And I said to Sunday I preached, I think mainly everybody here is for me. But, you know, it only takes from one Sunday to the next to see who's with me. People so finicky. It's like, you know, but I'm not going to step on eggshells preaching. I'm going to throw the eggs down. And I'm not here to try to pop up your pride and your flesh. The Holy Ghost kills flesh, and some of you's feelings are hurt. Well, you're going to have to learn that there's a real devil, and if he can keep your feelings hurt, they're going to stay hurt. And just because somebody didn't come by and shake your hand this morning, it's no reason to say, well, I won't never come back there. Matter of fact, if God's fighting you for being here, that's a pretty good sign that you belong. I mean, if the devil, well, look how tongue-tying he is. I hate you, devil. Brother Donald, I'm glad I'm going to where he can't follow me there, though. If the devil's fighting you for coming here, you're in the right spot. But if he ain't a bothering you for coming down here, then you ain't getting what you need. Now, if I was the devil, why would I want you out of here unless I knowed it's what you needed to be getting in your life? You think about it now. If I was the devil, some of you think I am. I'm really not. Got some devilish ways sometimes, a lot like some of you. Because I'm human, flesh and blood. But you think about it. If the devil didn't fight you, you better run your head in this altar this morning and saying, devil, why ain't you fighting me? Number two, if he is fighting you, you better run your head in this altar and say, God, give me the goods to keep a going. Boy, I don't want to quit now. Matter of fact, Nehemiah now, chapter 4, the walls is just half begun. They half built. We're in halftime, maybe past halftime. I know I am. I won't live to be 102. Somebody says, well, preacher, you're a young man. Well, I'm past halftime. I'm over in the third quarter, I think. And I may be in the fourth quarter. I may get to go home today. Who knows? Sort of like eating ice cream last night. My wife said something. She said, Grandma said something about ice cream. She said, well, I'd rather go to heaven full of ice cream than go in there wanting some. Amen. But Nehemiah faced some issues. He'd got a burden. And boy, ain't you glad now that 150 years the walls of Jerusalem had been burnt down. But God put in the heart of one man to do something out of the ordinary, to do something extraordinary. And he had a few people with him. So all he said, just had a few with me. It don't take a big crowd to do something for God. But I sure am glad we got a good crowd that's doing something for God. I'm not here to run nobody off. I'm here to encourage you. I'm here to tell you what the Word of God says. First of all, you'll notice he's a hearing devil. He's around. The Bible said when Sanballat heard, the devil's got ear. But let me tell you, he only knows what you tell him. Be careful what you tell him. If you say, well, devil, Budweiser is my weakness. You'll have Budweiser in front of you this week. Be careful what you tell him, because he's a hearing devil. He's around. And then you'll notice verse 1, he's a heated devil. He's angry. Now, he wasn't wroth before. Look what he says. He heard we builded the wall and he was wroth. Now, if you want to get the devil upset, go to doing something that ain't never been done. Go to doing something that nobody else is a-doing. Do something for God. He's going to get upset with you. Now, a lot of you are looking for reasons to leave instead of to stay. Now, if I was hunting reasons to leave, I'd done found them 18 years ago. If you was looking for something as much to stay, or if you was looking for the things that's right more than things that's wrong, it would help you in your Christian life. You quit trying to sum up the preacher and sum up your neighbor and worry about you. And let me tell you something. You might as well get over criticism, and you might as well get over somebody talking about you. I can tell you how to quit criticism. Don't do nothing, don't say nothing, and don't be nothing. And you won't be criticized. Now, he's a hearing devil. He's around. He's a heated devil. He's angry. Look in verse 7. He's a hatching devil. He's abundant. There's a bunch of devil. Don't take you long to look out. It was just Sanballat, but all of his buddies showed up. Tobiah, the Arabians, the Ammonites, the Ashdites, heard the walls of Jerusalem were made up, and the bridges began to be stopped. Then they were very wroth. In other words, they said, hey, these people for real. They done put their money where their mouth is. They done called off work and they've gone to work. They're doing something for God and I'm going to get upset. Don't wait for the devil to pat you on the back. I've never had a Sunday night or a Monday morning where the devil sent me a box of candy. And so he's a hatching devil. He's a bun. A lot of devil running. Matter of fact, there's more devils in this country than's ever been in this country. You know why? Because God's took the prophets out of this country. He's took the mouthpiece for Him out of this land. Every time that a land was judged, God pulled His preachers off the scene. The Bible said in the book of Amos, I want to show you something there this morning. If you'd turn over and find it in the book of Amos, turn over to the right in your Bible and hold your place and look in chapter 8, verse 11. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. Now, I've got two views there. I can tell you why to be a famine. Because God's pulled His preachers off the scene. And people, it's not that they're not wanting to hear at times. It's they can't hear it because it ain't none around. The devils went to drama teams. The devils went to entertainment. And He's pulled the Bible out of our land. And He's trying to pull it out of every church that's standing on the Word of God. Now, he is a hatching devil. He's abundant. And I want to say in verse 8, he's a hindering devil. He's active. Boy, I've always wondered why God wouldn't just tie the hands of the devil. But God don't do that. You know why? Because I'm going to say something in a minute that you're going to drop your eyebrow about. Now, listen to me. He's a hindering devil. He's acting. How does he hinder? He's got some dirty tricks. He's got a bag of tricks. He plays them on me quite often. First of all, chapter 4, verse 1 through 3, you'll notice he works by derision. They mocked them. They laughed at them. You know, a lot of people can take a sword swung. A lot of people can take a 45 shot at them, but they can't stand nobody making fun of them. The devil uses derision. He tries to mock you, make fun of you. Are you going down there to that hollering, shouting church? Tells you young people, why, you're them little do-gooders. You're them little holy rollers. Well, you ought to thank God that you are. He uses derision. Then, in verse number 10, he uses discouragement. Judah said, the strength of the bearers of burden is decayed. There is much rubbish so that we're not able to build the wall. Boy, I'm going to tell you, when discouragement sets in your heart, buddy, he can do a whole lot with you and me. He loves to use discouragement. I said last Sunday, the devil had a yard sale. He put all of his tricks out and put a price on them. Everybody was getting all the tools and looking at the price. But he had one by his chair that wasn't priced. And the man said, I want to know, why haven't you got a price on that tool? He said, oh, that's the tool of discouragement. He said, it's not for sale. If I've got discouragement, I can do anything that I need to do. The devil loves to discourage you. You know why? Because you're helping people. There's a man seen me last night in a restaurant. He turned around. You know what he said? He don't know how bad I need to hear it. He said, preacher, you'll never know how you've helped me. Why wouldn't the devil want to discourage me? When a man's leading a choir like this, why wouldn't the devil want to discourage him? When a woman is teaching young ladies to play and play for a church, why wouldn't the devil want to discourage her? When you're sitting in a church and got your babies here, and when you're getting something for your family, why would the devil want to discourage you from being here? The devil loves to play a pity party on me. You say, you know, them meetings you're preaching and you're gone, all your people's mad at you. Some of you probably are. But I'm here on Sunday. He said, do the work of an evangelist. I'm just following the Bible. I'm fulfilling what God's put in my heart to be and to do. Why wouldn't he want to discourage me? Why wouldn't he want to discourage you? There's a missionary here going to Scotland. I'd hate to know I was going to Scotland and try to build a work like this. You know, that'd be very discouraging. And the devil, you know what he told the people? That it's too hard. It's too much rubbish to get through. We can't build these walls. Well, the devil loves to get you to look at what's bad and what's wrong. He loves for you to see what you ain't got instead of what you do got. There's a lot of people, honey, that's left this parking lot that wish the God of heaven they had back what they used to have. But the pasture looked greener across the fence. Me and this man went to the deer lease this week. I told him, I said, yonder's a Baptist cow. There's a cow had his head stuck across the barbed wire fence trying to get grass that he was standing on. I said, that's a Baptist cow. He always lets it look pretty on the other side of the fence. And if there's anybody that ought to be shouting and glorifying and magnifying our God, it is us that are saved and redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And that's got the hammer down. Hallelujah. He loves to discourage God's people. So many times somebody asked me a while ago, preacher, what's wrong? Something's on you. Yeah, discouragement. I know I ought to be shouting, running pews. Look what we've got. But I can't look at what we've got. I got to look up who's done put something in me. What if it gets down? Am I going to quit? I got to look in here and say, God, thank you for what you've done in here. Discouragement. And then, chapter 5, verse 1, he uses discord. There was a great cry of the people and their wives against their brethren and the Jews. He loves discord. Anybody can be a coward on Facebook. Anybody can be spineless on text message. Walk on up in this preacher and get you some. You little mealy mouth something. Matter of fact, if you spend as much time talking to God about you instead of about them, you sure would be something this morning. Discord. Have you heard about so-and-so? Have you heard? Lord, this is a little town. Why wouldn't you hear? Let me tell you something. He'd love to get you turned against each other. This we've got going on in this church when the Holy Ghost breaks out and there's not even no preaching. People don't even know what that is in the average church. You know why? Because there's unity here. And if you're not with us, hit the road. I don't want to be mean, but I ain't scared. If you ain't with us, see ya. I've not poured 18 years in here to watch you tear it up. I've not walked out of what I've walked out to see you take over. You write this down. I was here first. We don't move the preacher out here. We don't vote on preacher here. It's easier for you to move a letter than my furniture. I know the church right back over here behind us. You know how crazy they've got? They told one of our preachers the other day, no wonder they're out of a preacher. They said, we got tired of the way independents do things. We got tired of the preacher running things from the top to the bottom. So we changed and went to the association. Now we running things from the bottom up to the top. My Lord, I'd love to know where you are sitting. Some of y'all like. Church has never been a democracy. Show me that in the Bible. It's a theocracy. God runs the church. But we in the Laodicean church ain't power of the people. We're smarter than God. I tell you what we are. We're a bunch of backwood hicks. And without the Holy Ghost in this church, it'll fall. And some of y'all looking down, we're not praying right now. We preaching. You show me in the Bible and we'll change things. But until you can show me something in the Bible different, hush! Amen. My money. Ma'am, I can tell you how much hold you got on your money. God can just look your way and get everything you got. The world loved to take this palace over. In this new edition of blessing. you young people, hey, are y'all glad you got a preacher to tell it the way it is? Say amen. That was soft. Say amen. Raise your hand then. Discord. Ain't nobody talking about you. You hear me? Ain't nobody talking about you. That's hogwash. That's all the devil's doing, try to get you out of this place. The people of God's trying to be an encouragement and a help. Ain't no place for discord. It ain't no little clicks and this'ins and that'ins. I don't know who gives what, and I don't want to know, and it's good I don't know. But I can guarantee if you give $1 million a year, you give $10. It ain't no biggins and it ain't no little'ins. And when preaching gets turned up on your pew, deal with it. You want to be someplace so they pat you on the back and sing songs about you serving God. You ain't going to get sung about here. And you pass 45 churches to get down here that will. And I'm getting help whether y'all are or not. I can tell you this, you young'uns ain't washing cars to be able to do something. Wouldn't that be a disgrace? We put our youth out yonder on the side of the road saying, pull in here, world, give us your money so we can do something for God. How crazy is that? Discord. Chapter 6, distractions. Verse 1, he loves to get you distracted. Now it came to pass when Sanballat, Tobiah, Geshem, the Arabian, and the rest of our enemies heard that I'd builded the wall, there was no bridge left therein, that Sanballat and Geshem sent unto me, saying, come, let us meet together in some one of the villages of the plain of Ono. But they thought to do me mischief. And I sent messengers unto them, saying, I'm doing a great work, so I cannot come down. Why should the work cease while I leave it and come down to you? You know, Baptists are so finicky. People at Walmart hurt your feelings. You ever got your feelings hurt at Walmart? My feelings get hurt every time I go to Walmart. I went to a Kroger pay at the pump the other day, and I got so mad. If I wasn't out of gas, Brother David, I'd have left. It asked me, was I a plus card member? I said, no, I ain't no plus card member. Then it said, follow these directions. I don't follow directions good. I mean, I'm sitting there running on empty, done swiped my card 4 times, and then it says, won't work. But you know what? I go back. You sitting there in your little eggshell self. Somebody's offended you. If I was the devil and could offend you and get you out from the Word of God, I think I would offend you quite often. Reckon me and my wife's ever been offended in 18 years. Reckon my kids have. Ain't no time to quit. Just what, brother? This ain't no time to quit. It's time to get together and love one another and be somebody for God. You say, boy, preacher, you're about half crazy. About a half crazy preacher makes a good preacher. Amen. Now, I tell you another tool that he uses. Not only derision, discouragement, discord, and distraction, but he loves to use drifting. Nehemiah 6, verse number 7. The Bible said, thou hast also appointed prophets to preach to thee at Jerusalem, saying, there's a king in Judah. Now shall it be reported to the king according to thy word. Come now, therefore, and let us take counsel together. Let's get the hobnogging here. Drifting. Boy, ain't it easy to drift. You ever been fishing and didn't hit the foot on that trolling motor? You know where you go? Not where you need to be fishing. I don't know about y'all, but I need to have some anchors thrown out in my life. I drift easy. Any of y'all drift easy? Any of y'all ever say anything ugly? Any of you ever think anything? A lot of y'all think, maybe not a lot of you, some of you may think you're cut above other folks. I wonder if we put up here on a projection screen everything went through your mind and heart this week. I wonder what folks would think of you. And then you want to look down at somebody that looks like an ink whale and come in, the hair ain't like yours and don't smell like you and ain't dressed exactly like you, and you won't try to throw a rock at somebody? We got on nice clothes, but I wonder how wicked our heart is. You say, well, you can't build a church the way you're preaching. Let me tell you something before you leave today. I'm all about growth, not swelling. I love what the preacher said. When something swells, it's dead. But I love good growth. Uh-oh, this sermon I've been studying is coming to life. But I know you don't have the patience to hear it because I know it's after 12. I didn't even look at my watch yet. But you know what? You ain't got no issues with... I wrote it down on my new outline. You ain't got no issues with... American Idol. Oh man, 30 minutes, that's enough, preacher. Why don't you have the patience at the house of God you do at your TV? You know why we're in a mess? Because what I just said. But I love you. Don't let nobody fool you. I love you. I just ain't going to bow down to the times. Now, I'm closing with this and I'm going to do something. I've done this before, but I've never preached an outline again Sunday after Sunday, but it's pretty fun. Matter of fact, this got more fire on it this Sunday than it did last Sunday. Some of y'all, I've noticed this about preaching. You ever throwed a rock in a pack of dogs and the only one that hollers is the one got hit? Maybe why you're a little upset today. Maybe the rock hit you. Now watch what he done. Nehemiah's a great leader. All this discouragement come, these distractions come. You know why? Because he's doing something. He's building. The devil will let you alone if you're not building. In your personal life, in your homes. Look up here, young families. When you build in a life for God and a home for God, he's going to fight you. You know what he'll tell you Sunday night? You got enough of that this morning. Don't go back tonight. And I don't know what in the world he's telling you on Wednesday. Anybody tell y'all we got church on Wednesday? I don't think that email went out. I mean, I looked in here Wednesday night. I said, my goodness. But I know I don't have to get tolerant, but I'm going to have to just face the fact it's the Laodicean church age. See, when my daddy come up and granddaddy come up, and like some of these elders sitting around here, they had to have God to get that corn to pop in the field to come up. We spoil people. Matter of fact, we done got into this mentality to where all of this is supposed to happen. But it ain't. Blessings has always intended to take us to God, not away from God. Now, what did Nehemiah do with the people? He faced everything we face today. What did he do? I tell you what he done. He armed God's people. Chapter 4, verse 13. He armed God's people. Therefore set I in the lower places behind the wall and on the higher places. I even set the people after their families with their swords, their spears, and their bows. Let me tell you, if your children and a generation is not worth fighting for, you ain't got much in you. He put weapons in their hands. You know what that weapons is? Have you prayed this week? Have you gotten your Bible this week? Pray. Serve God. Get in love with Him. He armed God's people. Verse 14, chapter 4, He assured God's people. I looked, rose up, said to the nobles, to the rulers, to the rest of the people, be not ye afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your houses. He reminded them that they were building more than walls. Remember what God's done for you before? He's not going to leave you now. Verse 14, He aroused God's people. He says, fight for your brethren, your sons and daughters, wives. Mom and Daddy, is your babies not worth fighting for? I'm telling you, I'd fight a grizzly bear for my grandbabies. I mean, I wouldn't even question. Is it not worth it? Then he applied God's people. Chapter 4, verse 15. Come to pass when our enemies heard it was known unto us and God had brought their counsel not that we returned all of us to the wall. Underline this. Everyone unto his work. He applied God's people. Let me tell you what to do, Liberty Baptist Church. Get to work. Get in your place. We need you. As Brother Dwayne taught this morning, we need each other. I know it's hard. Jobs are hard to get. Some of you single mothers, I commend you for getting up and getting these babies ready. Mom and daddies, I commend you for saying, you know what, for me and our house, we're going to serve the Lord. Brother Donald, you know what has amazed me about this ministry more than anything else? Brother Larry, people of y'all's generation, and I'm going to be real honest with you, I would have thought that that generation would have flocked to this kind of church and this kind of preaching. But look, it's young people. Don't y'all make me get ugly before I go eat lunch with my family. I mean, y'all just like you're in Zulu land. We need to get in our place. Serve God and love each other. Encourage each other. And when you young people need some help, come ask somebody. I've heard this more than anything. I don't want to bother the preacher. I was born for you to bother me. Not whine. Somebody help me now. Not whine. I know a lot of people, if they had come to their preacher and Miss Preacher and said, we need some help right here. And let me tell you, my wife is retired now. You got both of us, 24/7. And you probably don't want to hear what she's got to say. Because when I ain't out of the pulpit, I'm a teddy bear. But she's been in this thing long enough. I mean, she's got some gunpowder. But this thing about it, she's going to tell you the truth. People don't like truth, do they? Y'all remember the other Sunday, I shaved my head. You know what my girl said? That's pathetic. You know what the other girl said? Daddy, it really don't matter. You ain't got that much to fool with. What you saying? We need each other. If you got problems, that's what we're here for, each other. You see, some of these gray-headed saints of God, ask them how they made it. When you got one young and acting this way and another and acting that way, and you're saying, what in the world? You need help? Ask them. There's a man come to this church. We've just played a song. He wrote this song. He come here and he sang years ago. His mama, daddy, two sisters, and him. He is a big man. I guess he weighed over 500 pounds. Massive man. One of the kindest, gentle, sweetest men I've ever met. He wrote a song. I told Brother Chris a while ago, God put this on my heart for him to play. I know I've done that one time, but I don't think I ever preached an outline again one Sunday after another. I want him to play this song. I just want you to mind the Lord this morning. Before he does, you take some of our seniors here, 85, 75, 78, nearly 80 years old. Might do you good to encourage them. Reckon they've got discouraged. Reckon they've ever wondered how they wasn't going to make ends meet. What about these young people up singing? Reckon they ever need encouraging? You know how to discourage your church more than anything? You want me to tell you how? Not be here. If you want to discourage a church more than anything, don't be here. Brother Chris, play that song. Let's just mind the Lord this morning. Some of you young people may need to go to a mom and daddy and say, I sure am glad that you love me enough to bring me to church. Some of you young uns, you know what I wished I'd love to see some of you young uns do? I'd love to see y'all get in your place and go and encourage some of our older people this morning and go and encourage some people that need encouraging. I wish you young people would get active and do. I mean, out yonder, you go to meeting. Let's start going to meeting in here. Let's mind the Lord this morning. We got time. Let's just mind Him. Go ahead. Whatever you need to do, maybe you need to come around an altar. I just mind it.